and welcome to another episode of Tell Them Who You Are. My name is Brandon Farmahini, and I am joined by the wonderful, the awesome, the amazing Laura Lux.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
So I'm so happy that you're able to join me, because I gotta say, you are intriguing.
Thank you.
So, after I found you, to give you guys who maybe not might not be as familiar with Laura, you are a DJ and social media superstar, and more recently, one of the more creative OnlyFans content producers out there, including the massively popular nude Simpsons cosplay.
Yeah, that's me.
Is that a fair? How do I get down that bio? Did I do okay? Is that all right? Is there anything you want to add?
That was good. Okay. That was good. I don't DJ anymore. I quit doing that in like 2016, but I used to be a DJ, and these days I just do OnlyFans.
So before we get into OnlyFans, the most perplexing question I have for you, I've been to Australia once and I've only been to Melbourne, but I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It was super dope. How did you get from Australia to Texas? Why? My wife and I right now are talking about how do we move to Australia if Trump gets reelected?
I mean, it was kind of a progression. Like, I grew up in the outback, like the real
what?
Real outback. I grew up in a town in very rural South Australia. With a population of 50 people.
Like the place where people go on walkabouts?
Basically, yeah. Like,
oh my God, that is so cool.
Literally the middle of nowhere. So I grew up in, extreme country.
I already knew you were cooler than me, but like this takes it to a whole new level.
Now I really like grew up with the kangaroos. And then I graduated high school and I moved down to the city for college, and then just kind of fell into social media. I was actually a MySpace celebrity in Australia.
Ooh, fancy.
So that's kind of how it all started.
Did you know Tom?
I don't know him personally, no. I don't know who he is, but we've never met. And then I guess like I started DJing, and then I moved to Melbourne. And then at some point it just kind of made sense to be in America for music. So I moved to LA in 2015 and I was there for 3 years, and then I quit DJing and I was like, really need to be paying this much rent when I'm not doing anything, like I work from home now. So I moved to Austin.
Why Austin out of all the places you can move to in the US?
I had actually never been here until basically I moved here. I had a girlfriend who lived here, and I posted a Facebook status making fun of myself for how much I like country music. And she was like, wait, you like country? And I was like, bitch, I live and breathe country music. And she was like, oh my God, like, come to Texas, come to the Houston Rodeo with me. And she sent me the lineup, and I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
So I booked a flight. I ended up staying for 2.5 weeks and like went to the rodeo and went to South by Southwest. And I was kind of like, I think this might be the place. And I went back
That's
to LA
so
for
funny.
A couple of days, came back here, got an apartment and packed up and moved within like 3 weeks.
Have you been to the Broken Spoke or White Horse since you've been in Austin?
I have.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is so funny. Yeah. Like, so for those who don't know, the Broken Spoke is it's probably been open for 50 years. And the greatest thing about it, it's a country dance hall. The greatest thing about it is everyone around them sold. The entire area has been redeveloped into apartment complexes that all surround the Broken Spoke. It's kind of like that scene in the beginning of Up.
Oh. Uh-huh. But it's so fun. I mean, the median age of everyone there is like 75, but like you go there and there's all these like old men and they'll be like, excuse me, ma'am, may I have this dance? And you're like, oh my God, yes. And they like spin you around and they're so good that they make you feel like you can dance. And I'm like, oh my God, like, look at me. I'm a dancing queen.
Well, I am kind of curious. Do you have any DJ stories from your time when you were doing DJing? Like,
I mean, I had a lot of fun.
Is there anything that stands out in your history, or anybody cool you got to spin with? Is that a term people use? I don't know.
I got to I got to play with some cool people. I worked with Monster Energy for a while. So I was their official DJ with the Supercross.
Monster's great. They do so many events.
Yeah. So I used to travel around with the Supercross and do all the stuff with them. So that was fun. And I mean, I played all over the world. I played in Canada and Germany and Spain and Amsterdam. Like I played lots of places. I can't think of any specific stories that stand out, but I definitely used to have a lot of fun all the time. Too much fun.
That's probably why you can't remember anything specifically. Yeah.
I think I had a great time, but the memory's a little hazy.
Oh, man. I remember I found out, I was a big Game of Thrones nerd, that, did you watch Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah.
Hodor is a DJ.
Yeah, he is. I've never seen him live, but apparently he's pretty good.
We wanted to get another pug and name her DJ Hodor, but...
Oh my God, that's adorable.
One pug is enough. You have cats, right? So you get it, like the obsession with pets.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So do you remember how you first heard about OnlyFans? Were you still doing DJing at the time?
No. So I stopped DJing in 2016. I haven't played a show since then. And I went from DJing into full-time Twitch streaming.
Okay. So Twitch was the intermediary between your DJ career and your OnlyFans career.
I've always been a gamer, always. And then it was actually the guy that I was dating at the time who sort of pushed me into streaming, because I was like, I was so over DJing and I didn't know what to do. And he was like, you have this huge following. You play video games all day anyway. He's like, just start streaming on Twitch.
Oh my God, what games do you play?
I mostly used to play COD Zombies, like when I was streaming.
What game?
Call of Duty Zombies.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing that I played. But I play a lot of stuff. Like my tattoo sleeve is Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, did you enjoy the remake?
I did. I mean, I found it a little frustrating that we just got such a small part because
sure.
I finished it being like, well, now I want to know, like, I want to play the rest.
Yeah, but did you go back and get all the dresses?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, you're just like, oh my gosh, this seems like it's about to end and they still haven't left Midgar. What the fuck?
I know. Like, I wish that they had taken it to where you go to Calm. You know how you go to that little town, like once you get onto the world map in the first place?
Yeah.
It's like that little town called Calm, and then you sit in the thing and it's like give you all the backstory. Like I wish they'd at least just taken us there so we could have seen the world map.
Wait, which town? The one before you go, the snake where you have to get the chocobo before the chocobo farm?
There's a tiny little town called Calm, and you go in there and you end up getting this really, really long cutscene where they kind of go back and they explain like Cloud and Tifa's history in Nibelheim, however it's pronounced. Yeah. And it's like a really long cutscene, but I wish they'd at least let us like go onto the world map.
Yeah, no, I get that. I know they've worked on it for like 6 years or five mm-hmm. years. So like, I was super happy to get what I could. Cause like, that was like,
same.
Like I was trying to explain to my wife at the time. I was like, look, Ares was my first love, or Aerith, I suppose, if you the Japanese translation, my first love. And when she died, it was like a sore through my heart.
I know. Traumatizing.
Exactly. Sorry. This is not about video games. I got excited because Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy IX are two of my favorite video games ever. So
7 and 8 are my favorites from the series.
Really? You didn't like 9?
I liked 9, but I liked 8 better.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm.
Can we agree that 12 was boring?
I don't know if I ever even really played 12.
Because it was so boring.
I think I feel like I started it and just didn't get into it. And I didn't like 13 at all.
Oh, I didn't like 13 at all either. That voice acting was terrible. The storytelling was terrible. That motherfucker, Orin, what was his name? He could have told you the whole plot of the game in the first 5 minutes.
I never even finished it.
Oh, it's frustrating.
I got so bored of it. I was like, there's not even a world map. Like, you're just following a path the whole fucking game.
Yeah. It's just basically this guy being like, oh, by the way, I've been dead this whole time. Your father's sin. And it's like, why didn't you could have told me that? Like,
ugh, that's so annoying.
Sorry. Refocus. So you are Twitch streaming, Right.
Yes.
So you're in the Twitch world.
I started Twitch streaming and then sort of very quickly made like a bunch of contacts in the industry. And I was actually at, do you know Sonia Firefox?
I'm not sure. I know a Sonia. I don't know if it's...
Her at is like, oh my God, it's Firefox. So I was at her birthday party and some of the guys from Attack Studios were there and they were like, hey, like, have you ever considered having a Patreon account? And I was like, well, not really, just because I would be so bad at managing it. And they were like, we are starting up a thing where we're going to manage girls' Patreons and help them, you know, promote it. And they kind of pitched it to me and I was like, this sounds really good. So I started doing Patreon and that is how, like, I had like a private Snapchat and I did Patreon full time for about a year and a half, I think. And then one of my friends was doing both and she was like, you need to get on OnlyFans. It's better than Patreon. So then I was doing both of them and then I realized OnlyFans is so much better.
So when you were doing Patreon, were you making enough money to satisfy your needs or what you wanted to be doing in your life? Like, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's quite an enthusiastic answer.
Yeah, no. Patreon was very lucrative. And at the time I was like, holy shit, like, I can't believe I'm making this much money. Like, it was insane.
And you got to set your own schedule and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I contacted you, or big reason why, is because I'm so interested in the OnlyFans business model and culture, because I've been to many strip clubs in my life. And I'm lucky to be married to somebody who is willing to take me to strip clubs when we travel. And, you know, I feel like most people should notice, the definitely thing I notice, is how hard the women there work. And I'm not talking about just the physical aspect of it, but it's the engagement.
Oh,
it's
sure.
The niceties. It's the conversation. Mm-hmm. And within that world, as well as in other, you know, sectors that involve, like, you know, women showing their bodies, like, it's always been frustrating to think how much money these women aren't getting from their bodies, their choices. And it feels like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that businesses like OnlyFans allow the content creators to get more of the money that they're actually bringing in.
Definitely. Like, OnlyFans has really turned the industry on its head. So I actually was a stripper. Like, when I was in college, I started stripping and then I continued to do it for quite a while. So, I mean, I've done the strip clubs. I've worked at just about every strip club in Australia and New Zealand. I used to tour around and go to different ones and it's exhausting.
So how does that compare to your experiences with OnlyFans?
So my friend and I actually talk about this quite a lot because we both used to strip at the same club together and now we both are very successful on OnlyFans. And we always talk about how, like, back in the day, we thought we were making so much money in the strip clubs. Like, I would walk out of, you know, I would usually just work Friday, Saturday, and I might make like $800 on a Friday and $1,200 on a Saturday. So I probably usually round out at around $2,000 for the weekend. And sometimes maybe only $1,500 for the weekend. So that would be my weekly income. And at the time for us, we were just like, holy shit, like, that is so much money.
Sure, sure. Because you were in what, your early 20s, mid-20s?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't want to discuss the exact specifics of my OnlyFans income, but...
No. Hey.
It blows that out of the water. So, like, we look at it now and it's like, what I used to consider an incredible monthly income in the strip club... If I made that in a month on OnlyFans, I would beat myself up over it and be like, wow, that, like, I failed. That's not good enough. So it really has, like, turned it on its head. And in terms of, like, you know, physical activity, I'm not having to work 10 hours in six inch stilettos.
Sure.
And I'm not having to deal with, like, the having to speak to people, because that was the most draining part. Like, the having to really talk to these drunk guys and be like, hey guys, how's it going? Like, happy the whole night when you're just like, oh my God, I'm so tired.
Sure.
Like,
no, I totally get that. That's what I think is what people don't understand. I think that's what brings a lot of guys, like, reoccurring dudes back to the strip club, is because the level of enthusiasm and interest in the eyes of these girls is just so remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do that for 5 minutes without being like, I don't know if you, are you, do you know what Nextdoor, the app? Are you familiar?
Yes.
It's like Facebook, but for your, like, you know, your media area. I'm suspended for 21 days. It's like, I just, you know, like, speak my mind. I'm not going to fake it. Like, that I've always thought is just like the hardest part. But like, and really that's one of the real things that kind of brought my attention is you're able to like be honest about your personality, right? With your current outlet.
Oh yeah. And it's like, I feel like people are more receptive of it. Like if I'm having a bad day, I can post on my OnlyFans and say, hey, I'm taking today off. Like I'm just dealing with some personal shit, or I'm not feeling well, or I'm hungover or whatever. And they're all like, oh, no problem. You know, it's like, take the day off. It's great. So you don't, I think because you kind of build up, I mean, it's a parasocial relationship on crack. So people kind of, they follow you on Twitter. They follow you on Instagram. They have that connection to you and know what you're doing in your life. Whereas when people just come into the strip club, it's just some guy off the street. They don't care if you're having a bad day. They don't care if you're tired. Hey, they don't really give a shit. Like
I cared. Don't.
Okay, 95% didn't care. But it was, the most exhausting part was just having to, you know, put on that smile and be Miss Congeniality, even when, because if you don't, you don't make money. Like it's not like you just go to a strip club and then you just have money given to you. It's like you have to work for it. You have to be out there just pitching over and over and over.
When you're in that environment working in a club, is it a lot of managerial oversight by whoever is in charge, like of the dancers?
It very much depends on the club.
Okay.
I've worked in so many different ones and I've seen them all be structured incredibly differently. So it's really, it's hard to say. There's some I've worked in where I'm just like, what is going on with this system? And then there's others where it's been really cool.
But would you say now you're your own boss?
Generally, yeah, you are. But then also there's some clubs where if you're just not feeling it and you want to just sit in the dressing room for an hour, you'll have the managers that come in and they're like, get back out on the floor. And it's like, you can't actually tell me to do that.
You know? I mean, like for with OnlyFans, does it feel like you're your own boss now?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Would you think is it like being a Lyft driver, like a Lyft or Uber driver, where you just kind of set your own terms?
It really is. And it really is like a thing where the more time and effort you put into it, the more money you're going to make. Like I see a dramatic, dramatic difference between when I'm, you know, being active and being lazy. I see like a really dramatic difference in my weekly income.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. But I mean, like it's up to you, right? And it's what you put into it. So
I 100% control everything.
So let me ask you something, and I don't know if this is controversial or not, but do you think that OnlyFans qualifies as quote sex work, like within that industry?
It definitely does. It definitely does. But the sex work umbrella is huge. So there's so many things I think that classify as sex work. I consider personally what I do to be extremely tame because I only shoot topless.
Sure.
So I shoot implied nude. I shoot like, you know, lewd topless stuff, but I don't shoot anything. Like I don't do full on like explicit open leg stuff. I don't.
Yeah. You're not masturbating in front of a camera.
Not at all. So mine is very, very tame. So, I mean, technically it does still fall under the sex work umbrella, but I think the majority of people on OnlyFans are doing more hardcore stuff. So it definitely falls under sex work. Twitter makes everything a lot more dramatic than it needs to be a lot of the time, I think. We need to sort of be more realistic about who is truly oppressed in the sex work field. Like there's a lot of young women who are on OnlyFans and they've been doing it for 6 months and they're making great money. And they kind of claim sex worker oppression just because people were mean to them on Twitter about it. And I'm like, no, like if you're going to like really talk about sex worker rights, you need to be talking about the women who are working as, you know, street workers and the people who are actually escorting and putting their lives in danger. Like, I don't think that you can be an OnlyFans girl who sometimes gets called a thot by a peppy avatar on Twitter and claim the same level of oppression or, you know, hardship or, you know, any of that as someone who is literally putting their life at danger, like, and putting it at risk.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
You know, no, you might get a weirdo stalker, but you're not literally like at risk of getting murdered because you post your titties on OnlyFans. Like, I don't consider myself to be particularly oppressed under the sex work umbrella, but I still think it's important to like stand up for the people who are, if that makes sense.
No, that makes complete sense. So I dated a girl a long time ago and she showed me this website, and at the time I would explain it as porn bloopers. And not too familiar with me. I do podcasting now, but it's only because I can't afford to, you know, make movies and stuff. But my primary background is, you know, filmmaking. So bloopers are inherent, you know, with anything you're making. So the idea of porn bloopers to me was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
However, this website, I felt like I was seeing less bloopers, you know, where it's like, oh, somebody accidentally pooped, you know, and more, hey, look how funny it is that we treat this woman who's auditioning really fucking terrible.
Yeah, not good.
No, not good at all. And it really got me thinking about the industry. And I don't think it's fair to say the entire industry is terrible to all women, because there's a lot of women that have worked really hard and have gotten really prominent, you know, roles. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with April O'Neil.
I know the name.
Yeah. So she's super cool. She's been on one of my shows before and she's directing now, you know? So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's hard. You can't just say, oh, any woman in porn is just, they don't realize it. They're just completely. However,
right,
there are a lot of people that are mistreated by asshole dudes. So Do you think that OnlyFans, you know, for the women who would want to, you know, be more sexually explicit, do you think it offers them an opportunity to be less exploited?
Oh, 100%, because you're in control of the content that you put out. You know, if you decide that you want to shoot a boy-girl scene, then you decide who it's going to be with and you decide what's going to happen. Like, you're the one filming it. So, I mean, I guess there are people now who like run OnlyFans studios, and like it has kind of been, I think, hijacked a bit by some management. Like, there's a lot of girls who have a management team that shoot their content and answer all the messages for them and pretend to be them and stuff like that. So
I think weird. That's so weird.
I know. And it's like these guys it's already become a bit like, okay, well, how can we capitalize on these women who are supposed to be doing it themselves?
Yeah, it's frustrating.
But it does also give you the opportunity to be able to go, okay, well, I'm doing this on my terms now. And I have like quite a lot of friends who do porn, and they all say that they make more money on their OnlyFans than they ever made through, you know, shooting for a porn studio.
That's a shame. Do they get residuals, or is it a one-time?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I think maybe with one of the big studios. Like, it's not something I've ever considered doing, so I've never really looked into never looked deeply into the, you know, how it works behind the scenes.
No, I getcha. So how would you describe your first few months on OnlyFans? Because I think you joined was it 2019 or so? June 2019?
Yeah. My first month was May last year, but I sort of only started around the 20th, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to wait till June to really go hard.
I like your word choice.
No pun intended. You know, I always did well on Patreon, and then I did my first month on OnlyFans, and I was just like, holy shit, dude, like the earning potential on this is unbelievable. Like, my first month on there was crazy, and my next month was even better, and my next month was even better. So it's really crazy that this platform has come along and allowed people to do this.
So August 12th, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Many will remember that as a time we were all dealing with pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a core group of people that remember that date for the debut of your Simpsons cosplay. I think, right? Was Marge your first? Because I should say you do a lot of cosplay, which I think is cool.
I do, yeah.
But like, how did you get to the point of thinking to do The Simpsons? Because obviously with the yellow skin, that's a lot of work.
It's all paint as well. Like, oh, yeah. I've seen it. I met a guy on Hinge.
Ooh.
And
go on.
I think it was only like the second or third time we were hanging out. I don't remember. But I'd been showing him like some of my past like funny cosplays that I'd done and just like, you know, told him how like when I dress up as like really ridiculous stuff, it seems to be really successful. Like, and people seem to like it.
Like you did Scooby-Doo and Thelma, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'd been telling him that. And then we were watching The Simpsons on my couch and he was like, you should dress up as Marge, like yellow body paint and all. And I was like, yeah, I should. And that's literally how it started. And I did Marge. And then I was like, I tweeted as a joke, like, what if I dress up as Mo next? And everyone was like, don't you fucking dare. And I was like,
and
oh,
you
I'm
did, right?
It.
It was so funny.
Yeah. And then
the best, no, the best. And I know it's, you don't have like the cross gender appeal, but I still love the Lovejoy, Mrs. Lovejoy. That's my favorite. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That one was good. I actually have some more in the works. I took a little break from shooting, but I have some more coming soon.
Can you give us any kind of hints over what's coming?
One is one that I think everyone would assume me to do. It's very themed given one of my main interests.
Wait, what?
So
DJ? Video games? Is it comic book guy?
The cat lady.
The old woman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my lord. Okay, yeah.
There's a few more coming, so. Okay.
So how would you describe, and I don't remember if that's when how I was first exposed to you or not, because I actually just thought you were funny. I remember seeing your tweet and being like, that's a funny tweet. And I think that's why I followed you.
Mm-hmm.
But how has adopting the Simpsons cosplay impacted your following on OnlyFans and other social media platforms?
So through the Simpsons cosplay, I actually broke every record that I had set for August by an absolute bullshit amount.
Just with Marge?
You know, it was the fucking Ned Flanders one that really popped
off. Oh, yeah. No, I get that. I get that.
Yeah, it was like...
Now that I understand. Marge, not as much, but Ned Flanders? Oh, yeah, I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was like thick Ned Flanders that really did magic for me. But I had my best month on OnlyFans by an absolute insane amount. And it was all from people wanting to see the Simpsons cosplay. I think when I posted Marge, I gained like 12,000 Twitter followers in 48 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. It went absolutely nuts because I posted Marge and then Mo really, I think only like 2 days apart. And in those 2 days, I literally gained 12,000 followers. Like,
yeah. I mean, from a huge Simpsons fan and, you know, when I started seeing this, I didn't know you. I could, mm-hmm. it did seem that for you to choose these characters, you really like The Simpsons. Like, you're not trying to just capitalize on something that someone else likes. Like, is this a show that you watched growing up or that you watch now?
Oh, yeah. I still have, like, a vivid memory of watching the first ever episode with my family. Like, I was really little.
Really? From the first season with Homer and the weird voice? And
Actually, it wasn't the first ever episode, because the first ever episode is...
Tracy Ullman?
It's, yeah, the Christmas special where they get Santa's Little Helper.
Okay.
But the second ever episode is the one I remember watching. And I remember, like, I think it came to Australia a little later than it came to America. But I remember being a really little kid. And I remember, like, my parents being like, there's a new cartoon on TV tonight. And, like, the opening scene is them playing Scrabble and Bart makes the word Quidjibo. And, like, I have such, like, a vivid memory of watching that as a kid.
You're so lucky, man. I had a... So I'm like, I don't know how old I am right now. How old am I? I'm fucking 34. Mm-hmm. My parents would not let me watch The Simpsons, but luckily they mm-hmm. worked. So I would just watch it before they got home. But it was like, you know, or if it was on repeats, I had to just like keep the remote, just like always, just like, and my like fingers were like tense from like being ready to change the channel, you know, if they came inside my room.
Mm-hmm.
So you're so lucky. Have you noticed a cultural difference between Australia and the United States of America in terms of objectionable content or risque content?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of, Australia's kind of the same as it is here. Like, I had friends whose parents wouldn't let them watch The Simpsons. And there was definitely a couple of episodes I remember that my parents were like, okay, you're not watching this again for a month, when there was like a sex episode or something when we were kids. And they'd be like,
sure, sure.
You know, you know, they would like try and put their feet down and be like, okay, not watching this anymore. Or they'd be like, they'd, you know, change the channel or something. But mostly like that, we were just allowed to watch it. And we thought it was so funny when we were kids.
Sure, sure, definitely. So how would you describe the kind of relationship you have with your subscribers on OnlyFans?
I mean, generally it's pretty good. Like, everyone on there is really nice. Like, they're just really nice and understanding and supportive. And, you know, for example, like, people always ask me, are you ever going to go back to streaming on Twitch? And I'm like, why would I do that? When, like, every time I would log on to Twitch, I would be I had great mods, of course, but it was just constant, whore, go back to cam soda, fucking slut, go to my free cams. What is this? A porno? And I'm like, I'm wearing a t-shirt. Like, I'm literally wearing a t-shirt.
Hi.
So, hi.
It's my wife giving me a refill because she's awesome.
Hi. So I was like, you know, why would I go back to streaming on Twitch when I can do OnlyFans where everyone's just really nice to me?
Sure, sure, sure. So do you see them as customers? Do you see them as clients? Do you see them as fans? Like, are you ever in the position of, forget what I'm trying, the money I'm trying to make, I'm in a bad mood, I just want to vent a little bit?
Yeah, I actually, I have a Discord channel for my subscribers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's like anyone can join, if as long as you're subscribed, and like, even if you only subscribe for 1 month, like, you can stay in there. I don't kick people out once they unsubscribe or whatever. I haven't been super active in it throughout September because I burned myself out of it last month because I was like on OnlyFans like 15 hours a day just going hard. So I've kind of like,
you sound like me and next door. It's get to be a bit much.
So I just like, I was like, okay, I'm taking like a little break. But usually like at a normal time, I'm like in my Discord every day, like chatting to people and like asking how their days are. And like, you know, that's not something that I'm specifically getting paid for. Like, you know, it's, and we actually have some great conversations in there. There was one guy who actually joined and he was from Saudi Arabia. And like, everyone was like asking him questions about like what day-to-day life is like in Saudi Arabia. And it was like really interesting. And like, we were having like good conversation that was actually enjoyable.
No, that makes complete sense to me. I would love to direct more. You know, I've directed a lot, and, you know, I love watching human behavior because I don't know. I'm a weird dude. I don't know how to behave like a human. So I try to observe others, and I do feel, man, like the thing that really does keep those people who do go to strip clubs a lot coming back is it's not the naked boobies.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea that somebody is really interested and excited to hear what you have to say.
For sure.
And what you're interested in. And it's cool to hear you do have that relationship with your fans, and it goes beyond the fact that, right, they're just, that it's not that they're paying you, it's because they are interested in hearing from you, and, you know, it's reciprocal, right?
Yep, absolutely. And there's a lot of them that I genuinely do enjoy talking to, and like I said, most of them are nice. Every now and then I get one guy like every 2 months who's kind of rude and I just block him, and that's fine. But like, other than that, it's like really good vibes, and my Discord is genuinely enjoyable, like, for me to sit and talk in, especially during a pandemic when we're all fucking stuck at home.
Yeah, exactly. Man, if I only had one guy every few months on my Twitter that was an asshole, I would be super happy. But it's just,
right,
I don't know how it is with you know, for you, because I know you are a permanent resident here in the United States. I've become a lot more politically active on my Twitter account in the last year or so, I think for obvious reasons. And man, you know, some people follow you just to fucking disagree with you, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I made the mistake of tweeting a joke about Mitt Romney this morning, and I've had some very angry conservative men in my mentions today.
Hey, you know what? That's, you know, to me, that's America. Like, I need to be able to say fuck the president of the United States, and I need to be able to flick him off, because if I can't do that, then everything that this country was founded for is lost.
Well, that's it. It's like, that is literally what freedom of speech is. It's the fact that you can say that and you're not going to get thrown in prison for it. Like,
exactly. Maybe you might be fired depending on your employer. You know, that's up to your employer. But the fact is, you are not going to get thrown in prison. That's why whenever I see the president like threatening Twitter, which I see as like the last beacon of liberal democracy, in which not only people in this country, but other countries like Egypt or anywhere else are able to speak their minds, or able to, like, you know, showcase abuse, showcase what's happening in revolution, like, threatening Twitter to me is an act of war. Sorry, I'm getting a little political. I should stop, because this is not a
It's fine. No, I'm like, I have my political pants on today, so I've been like, I just like, I tweet political stuff, and then I just get all these fucking conservative dipshits in my mentions, like, trying to, like, you know, gotcha me, and, like, you know, trying to debate me with, like, psychoanalysis shit of me. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. I truly don't care.
I guarantee you, you're welcome. All of those guys have, like, tiny ass dicks.
Oh, yeah. They have to.
That's why they're so fucking angry.
They're so mad. They're so fucking mad. Like, generally on Instagram, I keep it very non-political, just because my fucking inbox in there gets real bad I get political. Twitter, I sort of, like, I keep my Instagram very lighthearted usually. Like, here's a picture of me, join my OnlyFans. But Twitter I like, because I feel like I can be myself.
Yeah, I feel like that's what Twitter gives you the opportunity for, is to speak your mind.
Yeah, I love Twitter.
Yeah, I absolutely do too. I mean, like, you get rid of Facebook, you honestly could get rid of Instagram because it takes no brains. But, like, Twitter, especially if you follow, like, you know, really talented, you know, reporters who have a lot of integrity, it's such an incredible resource. But
yeah, I love it.
What is it like for you, being a permanent resident in this country, obviously getting a lot of pressure to vote, where, you know, if you attempt to vote, you're going to get thrown in jail for 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what what they do to people, even through just by a mistake, who think they can vote. So how has it been in probably what is the most volatile moment in my country's, you know, the last at least 100 and basically since the Civil War?
So I'm not actually a permanent resident. I'm in the process of applying for a green card, but I'm only on a temporary work visa right now.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm still just on a work visa. I mean, it's definitely weird being here through this. Like, I came here in 2015, so things were very, very different. I still would have come here knowing, had I had like a crystal ball that told me, well, no, if I had a crystal ball that told me Donald Trump was going to be president, I would have fucking been like, returning this thing, because clearly that's not true.
Hey, well, you know what? Rupert Murdoch, he's only president because of Rupert Murdoch, and Rupert Murdoch is an Aussie. So you, come on, don't put this all on me. Don't put this all on me. This is on you too.
But no, I mean, it's definitely weird, like, being here and kind of feeling helpless. Like, I'm not allowed to vote. I'm not allowed to donate to political campaigns. I'm sort of scared to talk too much on, you know,
jokes, I get it,
on Twitter, but I'm sort of cautious to ever say anything too inflammatory.
Because you don't want ICE to show up at your door and take away your uterus.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not using it, but actually, if they want to take it, they can. I wouldn't be mad at that. But no, it's like, I don't want to do anything that's going to, you know, potentially cause me problems from an immigration standpoint.
I totally sympathize with you. It's scary, because you have to look out for, you know, yourself. You know, you've built a whole life here.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing was given to you, right? Like, you don't just show up to the United States and things are given to you. You're like, do you feel like you've worked hard for what you have?
I definitely have. You know, I came here with nothing. I moved here completely by myself. I didn't have I had friends in LA when I moved there, but my first like month here, I slept on an inflatable mattress in my friend's living room. And, you know, when I was trying to start out as a DJ, I was broke as fuck. And it was just like I was living the bare minimum. And, you know, I definitely put in the work to be successful here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely see it. Like, I mean, you're talking to somebody who I became a Twitter follower just because of your wit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you made me laugh on Twitter. And, you know, I was just like, all right, yeah, I'm in. You know, that's so I appreciate and I definitely understand, you know, the anxiety that comes along with it. Let me ask you something. So I remember seeing, seeing a tweet of yours explaining how, you know, you're dating right now and you might have been sending a Snapchat, maybe like a booby pic to someone you were talking to, and it still makes you nervous. Regardless of the fact that this is kind of what you do professionally. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the butterflies that you still feel?
Yeah, it's funny. I guess like when you do it for a living, it's just kind of something you do get somewhat, I guess, emotionally detached from. Like, you know, for me, like logging onto OnlyFans and posting a titty pic, I'm kind of like, cool, I know they'll like it, they pay to subscribe, whatever.
Like,
but when it's like someone that you're actually talking to and you're kind of like, what if he thinks I'm annoying? What if he's like at work and then he opens this in front of people? And then, oh my God, what if he's just like, why are you sending me this? And like, you just, your brain like just goes a million miles a minute with like all these ridiculous outcomes. And it was actually, I think the photo in question that I was stressing about, I think was actually a topless Edna Krabappel one. And he liked it. So.
Oh my God, I can't believe I haven't mentioned Mrs. Krabappel yet. That is by far my favorite character that you have done. It's so perfect. Like the disciplinarian from Bart. And it's just like avoiding all the main characters.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm not going to do Bart and Lisa because I don't want to do it. I don't want to like sexualize any children characters. Like I'm not going to end up on a fucking QAnon hit list. So.
Yeah. And you know, we joke about that. Like it's like a fucking extreme, but if you've been on Next Door, it's penetrating.
No, it's completely insane.
It's insane.
So yeah, I was like, no, I'm just staying far away from any of the underage characters.
Sure,
like,
sure,
as
sure,
much
sure.
as I think I would make a great Milhouse, I'm just not going to touch it.
Oh my God. Can you at least do Milhouse's dad? That would be perfect.
Kirk and Luann are on the list.
God, now I just, oh my God. Now I was just thinking about like expanding to Family Guy and doing probably my favorite animated character ever. I don't know South Park. I don't know if you watch South Park or not, but Randy Marsh is by far
my
favorite character in anything ever made. He's so perfect. He epitomizes the American male.
I fucking love Randy. I had actually started to do Family Guy. I shot Lois. And then when I went to like edit the photos, I realized I didn't like the pants. So I bought different ones and I have to reshoot that. I did try and shoot Peter.
Oh, the khakis?
Yeah, they didn't fit right. So they just looked not good on camera. I did buy an outfit to shoot Peter.
Peter from Hunger Games?
No, Peter Griffin.
Oh, Peter Griffin. Oh my God. What? Are you going to? He's just so big. How is that going to work?
It didn't work. I bought the outfit and I put it on and I was like, I don't look like him because you just need to have like the butt chin and everything. And I was like, man, I tried, but this, I just don't know how I can pull this off. Like, I just looked like someone in a short wig and a white button down shirt with green pants. I was like, this doesn't look like Peter Griffin. So.
That's tough. So like, you know, we're talking about, you know, the amount of creative force and effort that goes into these things. There've been stuff that you've tried, you've spent money on, have failed, and then you just have to eat the cost, right? And eat the time.
Yep.
That's pretty, I definitely appreciate that you're willing to throw away the stuff that creatively doesn't work. You know, it takes a lot of guts.
Yeah, I'm only going to put out stuff that I actually like. Did you see that I did Itchy from Itchy and Scratchy?
I haven't seen I didn't see the uncensored version. I saw the Twitter post when you announced it, the censored version. I think I responded to it. I was like, this is fucking genius.
Yeah.
Like I said, like this is someone who loves The Simpsons. This is not someone who's trying to capitalize or monetize someone else's desire or, you know, like of property. Like it just feels to me, and I think maybe why you see such positive reinforcement from your fans is it does feel authentic.
Mm-hmm. No, I am a genuine Simpsons fan, so...
So, it's been longer than I said I would take your time. Is there anything else you would like to put out there? Anything else you would like to say about your experiences and your time here, or what you look forward to in the future?
I mean, honestly, I'm just really excited to shoot more Simpsons characters. I really am. Like, I don't know what I'll do after that. Like,
can you do Final Fantasy? Can you do Tifa and Aerith?
So I actually dressed as Tifa once before, but it was only to go to the orchestra thing.
Okay.
When they like played in the, somewhere in LA, I went to that with some friends. So I dressed as Tifa for that, but it was like a very like shoddy last minute thrown together thing. So I do want to redo Tifa. I have to like actually make that one good and like shoot nudes with it.
And what about Lara Croft? I feel like there's a whole group.
Definitely.
And especially fighting characters. Like that's such a positive genre. I feel like cosplay wise, there's so much material there.
For sure. I mean, I did a Cammy from Street Fighter recently. And like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
That seems pretty popular.
You got to do Blanka. Where's Blanka? You're willing to put on the paint.
I feel like I need to start doing the male characters. Like, I'll be Sub-Zero or something from Mortal Kombat.
Hey, Mortal Kombat, both movies were great. If you went to see...
I thought they were fantastic.
Right? They were so fun. And even the second one, when it was like, you know, they were like... Oh, I'm coming down. And the two elder gods were like, we'll settle this like it should in Mortal Kombat. And they're like, oh, it's great.
I rank them kind of up there with like the Resident Evil movies.
Sure.
Where, you know, they're not going to win an Oscar and there's some plot holes.
But you chose to see those movies.
Yep. And it's like hot chicks in tight outfits, kicking ass. You know, you got a cool soundtrack. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Sign me up. Where's the sequel?
I love it.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have. Is there anything specific you would like to plug?
No, I just have my OnlyFans. That's it.
So please check out her OnlyFans. It is under Laura Lux. You can find a lot of really awesome cosplay from Scooby-Doo to The Simpsons. And then just like a lot of honest, you know, stuff that's going on in her life. You know, you really do get an idea of, you know, who she is and not just like what she's pretending to be in order to get money. It just feels very authentic. And, you know, if nothing else, you can see Sideshow Bob topless. And who doesn't want to see Sideshow Bob topless? That's probably my favorite, Sideshow Bob. That was perfect. Like, I think I lost it when I saw that. All right. Any last words, Laura Lux?
No, thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you so much for taking the time. I had a really really good time. All right, guys.
Me too.
We will be back soon with more interviews, more awesome people. So thank you so much. Please go out and vote. Bye. Say bye.
Bye.
If you like this interview, please check out our sister podcast, Wrong Side of 30 and 90 Day Soiree. Thank you.